Hello. Welcome to K-Drama School. I'm your host, Grace Jung. Welcome, folks. Oh my goodness. What do I have here? If you're watching on YouTube, what do I have here? I have my books in my hand. I have the hard copy, and it has pages. And I have the soft copy, and it's got pages. That's a nice song. Sounds very show-tune-y, eh? You guys, oh my gosh. In less than 20 days, in less than 3 weeks, you can have my book, K-Drama School, A Pop Culture Inquiry into Why We Love Korean Television, right in your hands. And you'll be reading my words, my precious, precious words, through your eyeballs or through your ears if you want to order the audiobook. That's right. I read the audiobook. I read it. You know, I listen to a clip of it. It's available on SoundCloud. I'll post it on my website. In fact, if you go to kdramaschool.com/book, you can hear a clip, a sample of my audiobook reading on SoundCloud, on the Hachette audiobook SoundCloud. And I sound stuffy. Is that what I sound like? Or is that the microphone? I sounded like I was... like muffled, like I was underwater or something. Is that what I usually sound like? I hope not. I want to sound nice and clear. That is my intention, to sound nice and clear and pleasant. But I can't guarantee that, all right? Anyway, it's very exciting. When I got these books in my hands, honestly, I didn't feel a whole lot. You know, I wasn't like excitedly like tearing into the, you know, the packaging or anything. I kind of let it sit on my floor for a few minutes and then I opened it. And then I opened it and I flipped through it. To be honest, like the feeling was a little numb. I was a little numb. But then for the last like few days, I've been hysterically crying. And I have no idea why. I don't know why. There could be so many reasons. I could give them all names. But, you know, I'm not even going to try and sit here and figure it out. If the tears come, I'm just going to let them come. If the emotions come, I'm going to let them overwhelm me. One of the things that I did this morning, because it's going to be total eclipse time, apparently on April 8th, it's going to be total eclipse time. Well, it's April 8th today, the day that you're listening to this, on Monday, and it's going to be total eclipse time. Oh, wait, is it April 9th? I think it's April 9th. Either way, April 8th or April 9th, that is going to be total eclipse time, solar eclipse, and it's going to be at like 11:30-ish. Pacific time, and then 2:30-ish Eastern Standard Time. So if you're outside in America, then go outside and put on your sunglasses and wear proper eye gear and check out the solar eclipse, I guess. And apparently this solar eclipse time is a time to set like your greatest intentions for your life. Apparently this is going to like reshape your life, and I want to reshape my life. So this morning when I woke up, I did my morning prayers, I meditated, I journaled, I did all of that. I also had this really interesting dream. In my dream, I was on a ship, like this massive ship. I was like standing like way up top, and the ship was like, whoever was steering the ship, they were moving super fast in the water, and they went like straight into like this tunnel, like cave like situation. And I was afraid that the top of the ship was going to hit the ceiling of the cave, but the ship just shot right through. And it did not hit the top of the ship. And then it turned this like sharp corner really fast, like no hesitation, just like fast maneuvering. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to hit into the wall. Didn't hit the wall, just like smooth as a whatever, and just like got right in there. And I was like, God damn, whoever is steering the ship, I mean, whoever the captain of this boat is, they are smooth as hell. And I was like, I'm into it. I don't know what it means, but I think it just means like, you know, trust yourself, Grace. Grace, trust yourself. Believe in yourself, Grace. Things are moving fast and it seems like you're going to be hitting stuff and hitting walls and hitting ceilings. No, you're fine. You're fine. You are in good hands. Whoever's driving this ship, you can trust them. And I'm gonna believe that. I've decided to believe that, even though I hysterically cry whenever doubt emerges. I've been crying so much, you guys, that I have a headache. I'm dehydrated from crying so much. That's how much crying I've been doing. It's also like got to do with like work. Like work is so stressful. My boss keeps cutting hours. It's not a full-time job. It's a part-time job, minimum wage job. She keeps cutting hours. I had this work assessment a few days ago. They're like, you're not very good at customer service. Somebody complained about you. You're not good at taking orders. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. Like, I hate customer service. I hate customers. And I hate when people tell me what to do. Of course, my response is going to be negative. I mean, I don't know who would be positive with things like that, huh? What sick fuck would be positively accepting those things, huh? Those abuses. Who would be tolerating that shit, huh? Who in their right fucking mind would tolerate that shit? And, you know, like, those assessments cut me so deep that my self-esteem was really low. It's a very violent process. They make me rate myself on a 0 to 10. And then I'll say like, oh, I think my customer service is a 9. They're like, actually, you're a 5. I'm like, okay, great. And they're like, well, how do you think about like, you know, taking orders and like teamwork and stuff? I was like, I don't know, like a 7 or an 8. And they're like, no, you're more like a 5. I'm like, oh my God, these pieces of shits. And so like my self-esteem was really low. And then they're like, how do you think, you know, you are with like composition and directing and things like that? And I'm like, I don't know. My self-esteem was so low at this point. I was like, I don't know, like a 7. They're like, actually, we gave you an 8. You're actually pretty good at that. I'm like, what the fuck? What kind of mind fuck is this? It was sick, it was demented, and it's inhumane and cruel. I do not believe in this job self-assessment shit. It needs to stop, all right? These salespeople, whenever their numbers go low, they have to pin it on somebody. They don't want to pin it on themselves. They always pin it on the lowest ranking people, the people on the floor, the people who are not making commission, the people who are not making tips, the people who have to deal with crazy people who scream at them in the face, the people who deal with 1,400 to 2,000 people per day. Those are the people that they blame it on. These ridiculous numbers, which are arbitrary, by the way. And it's like, all right, I mean, do I really want to be part of this shit? You know, miraculously, on the same day that I had the assessment and I was feeling like shit and I was like crying during lunch hour again, I got a interview offer from CARD, which is the Center for Autistic Research and Development, I think, or something like that. And they offered me a job. And at first I was like, okay, great, I have a job. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know, like, could I handle this? I'm not sure. If I can't handle customer service, would I be able to handle a child with an intellectual disability? Would that be easy for me? I don't know. You know, the fearful part of me is freaking out right now. Maybe that's why I'm crying hysterically. I'm just like, when is it going to stop? Like, when am I finally going to be able to do something that I fully love and devote myself, commit myself to it completely and not have to worry about money? When is that moment going to when is that moment finally going to come? You know, and that's why I write every day. This morning, I wrote like crazy. Last night, the night before, I wrote like crazy. I wrote a whole new pilot. I wrote a whole new pilot 2 nights ago, right before sleeping. That's right. I write like crazy. And then, you know, the other part of me realizes, oh, maybe I'm doing this to myself. Because like last year, when I was only working on the K-drama school book, I was only working on that. I wasn't really working on other things. I was kind of working on my novel, but I wasn't that motivated. And then when I realized, like, oh my God, I'm broke as shit. I have like nothing. There's nothing in my horizon that I could see with my eyes or sense with my ears. There's like nothing. I'm flat broke. Flat broke. Like about to be evicted out of my home, flat broke. And nobody's hiring. Like all my friends in LA, none of my comedian friends have jobs right now. Like I ask around. They're like, I'm unemployed too. What are you talking about? They're like, oh, I don't work in catering anymore. There aren't jobs. Like, it's so bad right now. So anyway, I was just like, okay, like, holy shit, I need to do something. So while I'm applying for jobs like crazy every single day and getting rejected every single day or not hearing from people every single day, I'm also writing like crazy every single day. I work on my book. I work on my screenplays. I'm working like a motherfucker. And then I'm like, is this just happening because now's the time? Now's just the time to just like crunch this shit out? Just push it out. Push it out, Grace. It's time to fucking make babies and push them out. And it's like, when do I work the best? When do I work the absolute best? Is it when I'm under pressure? Is it when it's like a life or death situation? I guess. Maybe I'm doing this shit to myself. Maybe I am. Okay, fine. I accept the challenge. And I think I'm doing just fine with the challenge. So far, I have written 80,000 words in my novel. Uh-huh. It's getting better and better. It's crazy. It's not making a lot of sense. It's okay. It's a gnarly, crazy, wild, batshit ride, and I love it. I love it. I'm enjoying it. I know people will read this and find it hilarious and creepy and weird. I know it. Even my screenplays, I love them. They're amazing. I'm like, oh my God, I would totally see this movie. If this became a movie, I would go to the theaters and watch it 80,000 times. I would. Anyway, do what you love. That's the point. I'm reading these books by Emmanuel. So in like, I think the 60s or 70s, there was this woman, or 80s? It was around AIDS time. So I guess 80s is like when she was really blowing up. Pat Rodegast. This woman named Pat Rodegast. She's kind of like Esther Hicks, you know, Abraham Hicks. All the kooks in Los Angeles who, you know, live the freelance starving artist life, they all listen to Abraham Hicks. These are channelers. So Pat Rodegast is a channeler. She channels, I guess, a ghost, a being, an ethereal being named Emmanuel. And Emmanuel says all these like loving things, kind things, things that my own head doesn't quite often say to me enough, and says the opposite things. So I'm reading these books by Emmanuel, and they're so beautiful. They're so heart-opening, and they're like full of love. Maybe that's also why I'm crying hysterically. In any case, these books by Emmanuel, they're helping me. They're helping me get through this period. So if you are having a tough period, if you are in a situation where you're like, how am I going to pay rent? What am I doing with my life? Why am I such a loser? Why am I such a failure? Why is nothing I'm trying to do working out? Why is everything going wrong? Why do I feel like I've been living my life incorrectly this whole time? Why am I feeling like such a, an error in life? Well, apparently, according to this more evolved being named Emmanuel, and the others, you know, like all the spiritual gurus and shit, they all say the same thing. They all say, you are not an error. You, in this present moment, are fully whole and complete and perfect. You are not an error. No decision you have ever made in your entire life was ever a mistake. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's pretty beautiful. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to choose to believe that, because my brain and everything else is like telling me the opposite. So I just keep listening to that shit. I keep letting it soak in and integrate. And so I wrote myself a letter. I wrote myself a letter this morning. It's a 2-page letter. And I put it in this like Korean envelope that I got in South Korea, I think like 15 years ago or something. And I put a little sticker on it. And I wrote myself this letter as present me writing to future me, discussing the journey of this book, and also saying thank you and blah, 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 all that sweet stuff. And I think it's important. I think it's important to give myself that recognition, because I was feeling so afraid and tired and awful that I didn't have time to celebrate. So I did that, and that is my long ash spiel. I have a show this evening, and here I am just chattering away. I have to drive soon and go to my show. So let me get into this show. This show was recommended to me by Mansa Pra. She is a Ghanaian doctor, I think. Yeah, Mansa Pra. She lives in Ghana, and she's a longtime listener. Hello. Hello. She recommended this show, Be Melodramatic, to me, because I was covering Yi Byung-hun's other show, Chicken Nugget, last week, because it was so crazy. And she wrote on my YouTube, just like commented, like, you should check out Be Melodramatic. Like, it's a really good show. So I was like, okay, you know, that's encouragement enough. It's on Netflix. Why not? And I like An Ji-hong. Why not? So I started watching it, and it is fantastic. It is a fantastic show. Why was I sitting on this show for so long? And oh my gosh, oh my goodness, in this show, there is a cameo appearance by my favorite person of all time. Son Sakgu is in it. And yes, he plays yet another toxic man, screaming and yelling. Such an asshole. And yes, I was into it. I liked it. I was very attracted to him. All right. I was terrified and I was very attracted. Oh, awful, 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 awful. But man, what a good show. This is very unique in how it's come together. First of all, it has two directors, Yi Byung-hun and Kim Hae-young. They're both the directors, which is interesting. And Kim Hae-young worked on Another show called Unicorn a couple years ago. And Unicorn was co-written by Yu Byung-jae and In Ji-hye. In Ji-hye, I don't know, but Yu Byung-jae is a very, very funny comedian. He's like the only Korean comedian who's like done like a bunch of stand-up specials on Netflix. And are they good? Not really, but the production is very impressive. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to get into it. But anyway, so this show is very unique in that it has two directors, two writers. Yi Byung-hun is the co-director and co-writer in both situations. And it's a very good show. It's not like Chicken Nugget at all. It's sensible. There's logic. There's beauty, heart, catharsis, love. It is a really, really excellent show. I think this show is also part of the reason why I'm crying all the time. It's very much a heart opener, like a heart chakra opener. And it's super tight. Oh my goodness. Like, first of all, Chun-Woo, I need to talk about Chun-Woo because Chun-Woo, I kind of have like a little bit of, I don't want to say like an affiliation with her, but all right. Like, so Chun-Woo, she did this movie called Han Gong-ju back in 2014. This is when the film came out, Han Gong-ju. And when I was living in New York at the time, I was an interpreter to a lot of South Korean directors at these film festivals. And it was written and directed by this director, male director named Yi Soo-jin. And Yi Soo-jin was the director that I was like eating with and I was like interpreting for at press during Q&As. And he was just like so, there was something unique about him. He was very quiet, reserved, intelligent, smart, but like sensitive, sensible. He was like a cool dude. And I loved this movie. It's not a happy-go-lucky movie. It's very intense. It's about a young girl in high school who gets gang raped by a bunch of boys, and she's like dealing with the aftermath of that. So it's very intense. But Chun-Woo was the lead actress in that film. She did an amazing job, like a glorious, glorious job. And so seeing that Chun-Woo is in like a rom-com, I was like, okay, like let's see how she delivers. And she's hilarious. Chun-Woo is so fucking funny. Oh my God. Like, it's been a minute where I'm watching a show and I'm cracking up hysterically in every single episode. And I'm doing that on this show. So, man, I strongly recommend Be Melodramatic. Chun Yeo-bin, also, she's impressive too. I remember like watching Vincenzo a little bit and like stopping because I didn't like Chun Yeo-bin. Chun Yeo-bin doesn't play the funny very well. She's not a funny actress, at least not yet, not to me, and not on that show. But on this show, she's amazing. She's playing somebody more muted, somebody who's dealing with numbness, somebody who's dealing with like pain and loss, and she is performing so beautifully on this show. So I'm impressed by her. And then there's Han Ji-eun, who I've never seen before. Who is this Han Ji-eun, huh? Who is she? And she's done a lot of movies. She's done quite a few drama series, and I've never seen her before. But she's doing excellently, too. She plays a single mom who got pregnant when she was still in college, and then the father of the baby abandoned her, and so she's raising the baby on her own. And she's like this strong working mom slash woman. And the three chicks, they live together. They have a gay brother. The gay brother, like the whole stuff isn't necessarily about him and his gayness. I guess that's what I appreciate about it. But he is still marginal. All right. Like, you know, there are some things like, oh, like, yeah, the reason why our parents had some issues with my brother is because he came out as gay and like they really didn't like that. But like, I don't think that's all of it. You know, like that's not the only weight in this show with the gay couple. Like the gay couple, they are loving and open about it, and like people are cool with it. Like I think the whole queerness stuff is like integrating in a lot better way on this show. They're treating it more realistically on this show, I feel like. Although they're, you know, it could always be better, right? And that'll come with the times. But this show came out 5 years ago, and this whole time I did not watch it. It is incredible. The directing is excellent. The mise-en-scène, excellent. The choices that they make, excellent, excellent, excellent. Like the cuts, the way that dialogue works, the way time works on this show is really, really fascinating. I'm never bored when I'm watching this show. Really, I'm never, ever bored. It kind of reminds me of World Within, which came out, I think, like, I want to say like 12 years ago or something. It came out a little while ago, but it reminds me a little bit of World Within with Song Hye-kyo and Hyun Bin. Who dated, by the way, after they did that show. But that show was like it's like beyond melodramatic. Like it's like too heavy. Too heavy. But they do like romanticize the chumminess of the broadcast industry and the people, all the workers who work in that environment. And this show definitely romanticizes that chumminess, that closeness that people have when they're working together in the same industry. And I think that was really, really beautiful. So check out Be Melodramatic. It is a realist drama, so I don't really have like a whole lot to say in terms of like, you know, metaphors and yada, yada, yada. I just think it's a really well done show. So thank you for recommending it to me. Mansa Pra. And if you guys have other shows you want to recommend me, please email me info@kdramaschool@gmail.com. You can still pre-order my book, K-Drama School. You can find that link on my website, kdramaschool.com, gracejungcomedy.com. And I am going to end it here. Thank you for listening. I love you all. And I'll see you all next week.